Hare Krishna. I would like to welcome you for this session of our workshop. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I would also like to thank you that you have been with us for all this while. I want to now finish yesterday's seminar with a second tip how we can successfully spiritualize our existence. This morning, those of you who were attending the Bhagavatam class had heard or seen a picture of the two dogs which are fighting in our hearts. I believe this is a very good picture for describing our two natures, which are sometimes at odds. And because this picture tells us that we can overcome this problem of being a divided self by giving food to the spiritual part of our existence. There is one particular purport in the Bhagavatam which describes in a way which I have never seen anywhere else what this actually can mean for a sadhaka. How a sadhaka can practically nourish his spiritual side. I must tell you very honestly, when I read this particular purport of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, my life had a very, very successful change to the better. For those of you who like to take notes and study this, what I will read to you now is from the Sharata Dashini, page 300. It's a book which is available at the Bhaktivedanta Library Services. It's the 10th canto with the purpose of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Here Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a stunning revelation. He says that each one of us has not one body, but two bodies. And here he does not speak of the gross and the subtle body, but he speaks of the material body, which is composed of the gross and subtle body, and the spiritual body. And he makes it very clear that a devotee who engages in profound spiritual life will actually develop his spiritual body. Please listen very attentively. In this regard, the following should be considered. When devotees practice devotional service under the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, they engage their ears and other senses in acts of pure devotion by hearing and chanting about Krishna, remembering him, offering obeisances, and personally serving his deity form. So when you are doing devotional service, you engage your senses by serving Krishna. Now something happens while you do this. Thus the devotees make the Lord's transcendental qualities the objects of their senses as stated by the Lord himself, Nirguno Mat Apashraya. The devotee who takes shelter of Krishna transcends the material modes. Can you understand this line of thought? Normally my senses are engaged with material objects. I see forms and smell fragrances and hear sounds and so on. But if I engage in devotional service, the sense object is not material. It is Krishna. Krishna on the altar, Krishna's holy name, Krishna's form. So I'm feeding my senses, which are used to material food, spiritual sense objects. This is the ideal case. But who of us lives in this ideal all the time? We unfortunately take again material food, right? Yet sometimes, that's how nice he says it, how politely, sometimes the devotees may take as their sense objects mundane sounds and tastes, and that is material. Thus a devotee's body can have two aspects, transcendental and material. Let us make it very clear. You all have a pipe here, right? Our pipe. Now, when you have air, there is a switch in the pipe which puts the air into your lungs, and when you put food and water, the switch goes the other way, and then it goes into your stomach, right? So in the same way, when you have spiritual sound vibrations and spiritual life, there's a switch, and it goes to your spiritual body and nourishes the spiritual body. When you have material sound vibrations and material thing, the switch goes switch key, and your material body is developed, and your material mind and your material persona is developed. Is this clear to you? Remember the word switch here. So then he goes on, according to one's level of devotional service, to that degree, the transcendental aspects of one's body become prominent and the material aspects diminish. This transformation is described in the following verse from the Bhagavatam, and he gives the verse 11 to 42, where it says that with each bite of food, a person becomes more nourished. In the same way, a devotee who engages in devotional service, with each bite, he gets more of a realization of Krishna, bhakti parishano bhavo, and he gets bhava, a feeling of love, and finally he gets virakti, that is a sense of detachment from the material world. He says, I'm full. I had enough. No hunger, no nothing. Then Vishwanath Chakravarti says to all of us, those who eat only a little food will derive a little satisfaction, a little nourishment, and a slight relief from hunger. Similarly, those who perform only a little hearing and chanting, a little bit, yes, I also sometimes, horrible. Similarly, those who perform only a little hearing and chanting about Krishna will attain a little bhakti, some little realization of the Lord, and a little detachment. So my dear devotees, I want to now lean over this table. I want to come now with a message into the room. Don't worry, I'm not performing any magical things here. But I wish to enter your hearts with this message. Don't allow yourself to remain hungry. Just don't remain hungry spiritually. If you can just take this little thing in your emotion, in this emotion seminar, just slowly increase your doses of spiritual life. See, when a person has, you might now say, yes, Maharaj, but I have no taste, Maharaj. Huh? Who wanted to say, no, I don't want to. Of course, we have no taste, because we have the fever of material identification. And when you give food to a fever, a diseased person, he will say, no, thank you, today I fast. No, but as he gets a little bit more healthy, he can take more. If he gets more healthy, he can take more. There are devotees in Vrindavan who from morning till evening just hear and chant. That's their devotional service. They have so much taste. This is something which I wanted to bring to your attention. And I want to tell you also something. I want to ask you a question. How do you think you change your life? Is it that all of a sudden something becomes clear to you, and then on that enlightenment moment you change your life? Or is there something else which changes your life? It's a very important question. I'm fishing for a very concrete answer. Would you like to try? Right, association changes your life? Well, I've seen many people who were in the association of devotees who had not changed.
Something become changing in inner mood, system awareness, something changing. According to that, you're changing your behavior.
Okay, here you say you get a mood and then you change your behavior. Anjana?
Sometimes something very sudden can happen.
I'm sorry?
Something very sudden can happen.
Something very sudden can happen and you may be chocked out of your old ways.
A wake up.
Yes?
Chanting Hare Krishna changes
life? Yes, that's always right. Yeah. Thank you for your insight. Thank you very much. Yes. Maritza?
Information
and mercy changes life. Goranga Priya, Gorangi?
We make the firm decision to do it no matter what and never stop.
We make the firm decision to do it no matter what and never stop. It rhymes. My dear devotees, you will now be shocked what you hear. You only profoundly change if you adopt new life's habits. Otherwise, it will be mental, just on the mental platform. There are enough mental spiritualists in this world and enough mental Hare Krishnas. We need people who really have changed their heart, and this only happens if you adopt habits. Exactly 1 year, 1.5 years ago, I had such back pains that I had to be carried. It was so bad, you can't imagine. Very painful. And then I noticed I have to do something. So I went to a very expensive clinic, which is very good. It's called the Blue Clinic. It was immediately sympathetic for me. And they told me the only the problem of your back habits, bad back, is because your muscles have shortened, which happens when you become older. You have to now stretch the muscles, and you have to do it every day. You have to develop these exercises, and you have to really make them a habit. So you will see me nowadays, whenever I have a free minute, I will do these tremendous exercises, which are meant, you know, just it kills you. So just stretch, for instance, these muscles here, the leg muscles. You go down, like when I'm at the roof. But it's very, very good. And it has become a habit. That is good for you. Now I can walk and talk and sometimes dance a little. So this wouldn't have happened by having done something in the mind. It happens by doing developing new habits. This is how you change. Otherwise, that's also my basic criticism against psychology, mundane psychology. Unless and until people really develop new habits, their lives will not be changed. So we will now get into a very fascinating part of the seminar. We will learn a little bit how to develop new emotional habits. This will be very fascinating. But before we can do this, we will do a meditation. And you will afterwards, meditation means this time it's easy, you will just look at something, and then I will request you to enter through the door of your subconsciousness and go quite deep. Those of you who are in the who are here, Krishna Vallabha, can you see properly on the screen? Okay, Dina Dayal, Atmanandaji and Kiyo, you might like to go for this exercise and be there. I will now take you into a very advanced course of psychology in a very gentle and spiritual way. We will look at a slideshow which I have prepared and look at different types. Well, I won't tell you what you see. You have to really see it. My recommendation to you is relax and look very peacefully and concentrated on the pictures. You will need it, because afterwards I will bring you into a meditation. We will have to close the light, please. And when we are finished, someone could maybe open the light. We have to maybe pray a moment for Gaurahari to find everything. Mm-hmm. Are you sure, Gaurahari? This looks so so fake. What? He has a good. So it's very important that you all see this and hear it. And be very concentrated. The the more concentrated you are now, the easier it will be to enter the exercise for you. Hare Krishna, please take a comfortable seat now. Is there another pair of cartels? Mm-hmm. I would like you to do what we have done yesterday. Sit straight, please. When you're ready, please close your eyes. And again, go into a feeling of weight. Really try to feel what it means to have weight. The earth has the ability to hold you. You don't need to hold yourself. Surrender the weight of your feet. Your knees. Your tights. Move upward to your sitting area where you sit. While keeping the straight position, give over your torso. And now that part of your body which carries the greatest weight, your shoulders. Yes, there are shoulders who carry the arms, but with your shoulders you also carry your responsibilities. That's why some of us are bent over. The weight is a bit heavy. Now you can just surrender everything. Go towards your head and the facial muscles. You are in a totally safe environment. Just totally relax by feeling into the feeling of weight. Now please inhale deeply with me and exhale. Only use your nose to inhale and exhale. There's no need to force your breath very strongly. Only concentrate yourself on breathing in deep. Breathe into your stomach area. Watch your breath as it comes and goes. Just breathe in deep. Now please breathe into your heart area. If you can focus your attention there, you will immediately feel some opening of happiness, or some relief, or something. It's important to not force the breath, but to just bring it in deep. Now I will request you to visualize water. Your water, that is your picture of water. Is it like a lake, the ocean, rain? please let an image come, an image of water. Watch that water. Stay with this water for a little bit, it's important. Now slowly become aware of your breathing again. Breathe in and out peacefully. Kindly rub your hands as yesterday. Bring them to your eyes, just like palming. While you gently remove your hands from your eyes, look into the palms of your hand. Look at them and see them as if you're seeing them for the first time. And then become aware of the room which surrounds you and where you are sitting. Question to you is, did anyone have a visualization or a picture of water? Please raise your hand. Oh, that's a very, very good meditative group. Would you like to share it? It will not be embarrassing. It's a, please, anyone, what was your water, please? The first picture on the screen was your water. Mm-hmm. Yes?
The lake around
Inishrat
Island.
The lake around Inishrat Island. Yes. Thank you. Yes?
A little stream with bubbling water.
Over the rocks. Over the rocks. Yes. Oh, how beautiful! The reflection of the sky and the trees and the grass on the, yes, it's lovely. Anjana, Yamuna at Brahman Ghat. Was the Yamuna flowing or it was still? Acha, Krishna Vallabha. A waterfall. It must have looked beautiful. Was it in, where is it?
In
Madhya Pradesh. Namada, the sacred river Namada. Was it in movement? And was the water clear or was it very clear? Wonderful. Krishna Vallabha. Wonderful. Yes, Prabhuji?
It's a waterfall by bluish.
A waterfall with a bluish color. Acha. Yes, some more men. We have a little overweight of the branco. Ne, is that normal? Bolko sogar. A nice broad stream with a thundering waterfall. Very broad. Krishna.
A small lake with soft waves.
A small lake with soft waves. You will not believe what comes in a minute. Keep your water. It might spill when you hear it. Yes, yes.
I see also a waterfall.
You also see a waterfall. Wonderful. There was a Mataji in the back where the heater is. I was thinking of bathing in the fast flowing Ganges. Wonderful. Yes.
My mind was switching from a peaceful lake to a moving ocean. And then I came back to the peaceful lake.
My mind was switching between a peaceful lake and an ocean. Was it turbulent, the ocean?
Not really turbulent. It was like the waves were coming on the beach.
The waves were coming on the beach. And then I returned to the... Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Please now listen openly what the psychologist, thank you very much, has to say to you. Be open for a surprise. When one, the element water is very much related to a chakra which has to do with the emotions of creativity and so on. When we asked our devotees who come to the seminars to meditate about water, we asked them what is their conception of their ideal in life, the life which they would like to live, the life which they aspire in their deepest essence. It's not an intellectual question. It's a question which is answered by the emotions. For instance, I will now become the guinea pig of chakra psychology. I had a time in my life where I wanted to break out of what I was doing. I felt constrained. I felt I'm not getting anywhere. I felt that the life which in the deepest core of my being is of interest for me is not lived by me. And at that moment, I saw a river which was wild, which had clarity, which had purpose, and which removed the obstacles. Trees and everything. Break on through was my river's motto, and so on. Now I'm at the point in my life where everything goes by Krishna's mercy. No one should say this in public, but I'm satisfied. No revolutionary spirit at the moment. And since quite some time, when I close my eyes, and my life is a little intense, as you can imagine, lots of service, when I close my eyes, I see a very nice, still, clear lake in, how do we call these in the forest when there is it a clearing?
Yeah.
A clearing is there, and I feel very, it's protected by trees, and it's very peaceful. Maybe there's a fish who's called Sachinandan Swami, enjoying in the lake. This is my picture. Now I leave it up to you. And this is what I think is my ideal. I now leave it up to interpret your own picture of water. It will tell you a lot of the type of life which you, in your deepest core, wish to live. And this exercise is such a gentle exercise, because I have not explained it before to you. I just wanted your emotions to come out and speak to you in the language which you can understand. Who felt that this exercise told them something about their innermost desire? So good, it was useful then, at least to some of you. Sometimes, I must warn you, we are expert in pushing away what our inner voice tells us. We don't accept it. No, everything else, not that. Oh, I'm very satisfied, Maharaj. And we are in great tension because we don't allow the voice of conscience, which is the voice of the super soul, speak to us in that voice. When I heard it, I was, for the first time, I was thinking, oh no, this Krishna can't be true. After all, I'm a sannyasi, I'm always right in what I do. Then I had to question this very arrogant perspective. We will move on to the next phase of our seminar. But this exercise has ushered us into this phase. I want to now talk about coming in contact with favorable emotions which help us in our spiritual life. I would once again like to request you that ultimately the powerful knowledge which you will learn now is something very, very interesting. But it will only work for you if you understand this important point which I made earlier, that habits change you, not just understandings. You have to live what I'm telling you. We will talk about emotions like humility, forgiveness, regret, eagerness. We will talk about how to evoke them and make them our friends. But please don't think, because I'm now not humble, or I'm not so eager for spiritual life, therefore I will not be able to live these emotions. You will see, if you act humbly, and when you act in a special way, then the emotions will come. Will you allow me to convince you of this? Will you give me a little of your faith that what I'm doing, I know what I'm doing? Good. Then close now the camera, Ishan, and close the recording devices. It will get a little intense. It is extremely safe. Don't worry, some of you say. I'm 34 years in the movement. I'm known as a gentle person. Let's see. Anyone who hears the recordings will not really benefit from what comes now. You have to practice it. That's why I'm requesting that it is closed, the recordings. We can now put on the recordings again. I wouldn't like this to go to the whole world. Do you feel how in your body there are changes? You feel a little relieved, maybe after, like you feel after crying. This was an example where I would wanted to show you how you can go from the external to the internal. In other words, when I will soon talk about favorable emotions, you can, even though you may not have these emotions at the present moment, develop them by acting like that. We can do another exercise which Purnachandra Prabhu did. Let us just go like this and move our heads really proud up. Let us now fold our hands and bend our head down. Do you feel a difference in emotion? It's amazing, isn't it? That's why we say yoga is meant to control the mind. It gets there. So tomorrow, yes, it's the end, isn't it? Tomorrow, we will no longer make such hefty exercises. Tomorrow, we will actually learn Prabhu's emotions, how to get in contact with our deep, favorable emotions and change our whole life. This we learn tomorrow. Thank you very much for being willing. I really must thank you. I know what I asked you to do is not done usually in the temples. It's an authorized yoga system. Yes. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki jai.